Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spirit of America, a radio show. And as I promised you, an exclusive, and tonight we have it, we are interviewing the Queen of England. Your Majesty, welcome to the Spirit of America Party, a radio show.
Very well. How are you?
Your Majesty, how do you like your tour of the USA?
It's always nice to be in the colonies. I love everybody.
Your Majesty, did you go to Washington to see the President?
No, I'm only going to see white people.
Your Majesty, the President is half white.
I said I'm only going to see white people. I love white people. We have enough trouble with the wogs back home. They're running amok. They're messing up Buckingham Palace. Wearing their burkas. Hiding their faces. Shouting God knows what.
Your Majesty, did you know that President Obama sent back the bust of Winston Churchill to England?
Oh yes, we retaliated. We sent back a Walt Disney star baby.
Your Majesty, were you glad that President Bill Clinton sent Mr. Mitchell over to heal the rift between the Brits and the Irish and bring peace to the Irish people?
Let me tell you something about Bill Clinton. He's a clerk. He's an errand boy. He's sent by clerks to collect a grocery bill. I saw that in Apocalypse Now with Marlon Brando. I love Marlon Brando.
Well, how about the healing process that Mr. Mitchell brought to Ireland?
That jerk. He couldn't fight his way out of a paper bag. He should have left us all alone. We're worse off now than we were before. All they do is monkey face for the cameras.
You know that the President Obama is sending Mr. Mitchell to heal the rift between the Israelis and the Palestinians.
A fat chance that would be. That's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. The guy mocked up the Irish peace talks, and now he's going to talk to crazies. He's going to bring them all back to his sanity. Yes, of course. Yes, we'll all wait on that one, won't we?
Do you have an illegal alien problem like we do in the United States?
Oh, yes, we have the Pakis. The Pakis are a burden to the entire country. If I had my way, I'd shuffle them all off to Buffalo. But they're chanting in their mosques. They're a disgrace. Do you know they want to put me in a burqa? Could you see me in a burqa? Maybe Prince Charles, but not me.
Your Majesty, I understand that you knighted one of the Beatles. Which one was it?
It was the pimply face one, Paul McCartney. They wanted me to knight John Lennon, but I got to tell you a secret. I hate all those little bugs. I hate Beatles.
Well, how about Mickey Jagger? Would you knight him?
I'd rather see him with his tongue nailed to the gallows floor. The British Invasion, they call themselves. They're nothing but a bunch of drug addicts. Yes, they're snorting up the world. Was he the one with the purple sunglasses that married the Harry Carey girl? Was that him? John Lennon? Yes, that was him, I think. Yeah, he left to go to the United States because he didn't want to pay. He didn't want to pay the vigorish to the Queen.
What do you think of Prince Charles marrying Camilla Parker Bowles?
Oh, that's her name, is it? I thought it was Bowles. She has a face like a bowel. Not since Henry VIII have I seen such a horse. Yes, she makes Anna Cleves look like Marilyn Monroe. Yes, do you know that they tried to pass a law that parents could go to jail for spanking their children? Did you know that? Do you know when they wanted to pass it? They wanted to pass it on a Friday night, but they postponed it because over the weekend Camilla wanted to punish Charles. He had been naughty again. He had to wear those long stockings.
Well, Your Majesty, we thank you for your time. And are there any other states you're going to visit?
Oh, yes, I'm going to Arizona. I'm going to support the people of Arizona. They're the only ones that know what's going on in this country. I love white people, especially the Mexicans.
Your Majesty, did you ever meet Bill Clinton when he was hiding out in London, avoiding the draft?
Oh, yes, I met the bugger. He was bumming marijuana cigarettes on the street, wearing a beard, protesting the war. Boy, what a two-faced bastard he is. He'd sell his mother for a tin whistle. I understand he made $137 million in government. Oh, and he didn't even take up a second collection. And he got a golden saxophone from an Israeli agent who sells arms to the Iranians. He groped me one time on the reception line. Then he said, "I'm sorry, I thought you were Captain Willie." He wanted to know if I would deliver pizza wearing a beret. But his wife is the real McCoy. She really is. You know, she's in the book of Revelation. Yes, she's going to be the next president. It's in the book of Revelation. And a beast will appear in the sky. And will have seven heads. And her tail will sweep the stars from the heavens.
Well, that's all the time we have today, Your Majesty. We do thank you for dropping in. Would you like a cup of tea?
Oh, yes, I love tea parties. I hope the Tea Party wins in November. Get rid of all those bums.
That's it, folks. www.spiritofamericapartyradioshow.com. You heard it here first. Except no substitutes. Did I say substitutes? Yeah. O'Reilly had on two prosecutors, and I thought I said substitutes. Yeah, he had two prosecutors on. I said, yeah. Well, you know, these two women are prosecutors. I said, you know what? It's not a bad profession, but you can't stay in it all your life. And you got to watch out for those STDs. If you can't figure out who to vote for in November, get my book, Spirit of America Party. There are names in there of people not to vote for. And you can't miss it. It's got an American eagle on the cover, and it says, "Take me to the beach." Spirit of America Party. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party, the Spirit of America Party book, and the Spirit of America Party radio show. So the Phantom of the Opera is inside my mind. It's inside your mind, too. We've got November coming up. It's our last chance to take our country back. And I'll tell you a couple of things I see that are disturbing me. And I think we're beginning to see the rise of not only anti-Muslim reactions on the part of the American people, but I also see anti-Semitic actions on the rise too. I don't know what how to describe what's taking place, but this is what I see. I see it in blogs, and it's disturbing me to the point that this country could be in a turmoil. And race won't be the problem anymore. It's going to be Middle Eastern, anti-Middle Eastern sentiment. And I'm not saying that it's right or wrong. When people start talking about the bombing mosques, you can't do it. That you got to bury that thought right away. And I'm looking at a website that where people are pretty vociferous, and I'm on that website, but I'm getting a little bit nervous because I see guys calling for attacking Jews and attacking Muslims. Now, let me say this also. I don't want to see a Victory Mosque across the street from the sacred burial ground of 3,000 Americans murdered by Muslims. I also believe that Al-Qaeda, Hezbollah, Hamas, they are the shock troops of Islam, but there's also a lot of infantry. And I also believe that there are Muslims here in the United States who can tomorrow turn mosques into ammunition dumps. And not only that, but they think they have victory in sight because they have managed to scatter the British people and run their country for them. I got to tell you, my friends, we are not the British people. In 1781, we put all British sympathizers who chose to go. We gave them a choice. You could stay or you can go. And we put them on British troop ships that were evacuating British troops back to Great Britain. And that's how we settle scores when the time comes. So do not think that we are the British, because we are not. We are Americans. And whether you came here in planes, trains, or in chains, the sooner we remember that we're all Americans, the sooner we'll defeat all our enemies easily. And right now, one of the enemies is fat. 17% of all applicants for the military get turned down because they're too fat. So it's time to get the lard out. They should have a lard tax, and the first guy that should have to pay is Al Gore. So I just want to give you a heads up and a warning. And this website that I do blog on, I'm going to have to make a decision, because I can see that it's presenting itself as a candidate for a communist stunt. All it'll take is a communist who goes in there as an anti-Semite, and he'll bring that website down. And that'll suffocate a lot of good voices who want their opinions heard. And I don't want to see that happen. So a word to the wise on that website. I like that website. It's watching Islam, and Islam needs watching. You can call it profiling, and you can call it anything you want. Just like you can call illegals coming across the border in Mexico immigration. It is not immigration, it's an invasion. And one county in Arizona has 1,100 violent felons that all came from Mexico. It is time to stop the invasion. The doors are always open to good Mexican family people. The Z people are very vital to the success of the United States. They are hard workers, and they put many a welfare check recipient to shame on the stoops of his own apartment while he still sleeps in bed at 11 o'clock, and there's a Mexican who swam the Rio Grande and got all the way to Staten Island, and he's sitting on the stoop at 6 o'clock in the morning waiting for the contractor to come by so he can ride in the back of the pickup truck and earn a living, while Weed Man rolls out of bed at 11 o'clock complaining life's not fair. There are people in this country who will always be on the bottom rung of the ladder, and many of the people who pretend to help them break the bottom rung so they can never even get a leg up. You better wake up. Everybody's concerned tonight about a basketball player, where he's going to play, and he's going with the Miami Heat. It would be better you worried about the Muslim Heat that's coming your way every day. Every day. Now you've got American Muslim citizens who are wreaking havoc on the United States, and they haven't begun to show their true colors yet. They are going to, you will see a day when they hit 50 malls in 50 states. You will see a day when you're going to think you're living in Baghdad. You will see a day when mothers have to get Kevlar for their baby carriages. If you don't wake up, you're going to be on the run, just like we were on the run on 9-1-1. You take a look at that giant cloud chasing the crowd. And that can happen any day of the week. Never happens, happens all the time. You look at 60,000 unarmed American soldiers in Fort Hood, Texas, at the mercy of one Muslim who wounded 30. You look at one crazy that walked into a Virginia university, and the only one that had a gun was him. And he took out, 23 students? And everybody had a candle in the wind moment when what they should have had was an NRA festival, and he should have gotten 10 bullets to the one he was shooting. And the ROTC didn't even have access to an arms room. You tell me. Wide open. We're not wide open. We're face down, pants down. So, in my own borough, a priest sold out his parish. That's what he did. I don't buy any other excuse. He sold a convent to troublemaking Muslims who wanted to create an issue. They think they're in England. They think they're going to overturn the government. It's not going to happen. Do not push the envelope. Do not push the envelope. It is not going to happen. We are not England. We are the USA. And when the time comes to settle scores, we do it very well. So, either you're with us or you're with the terrorists. You better choose. And if I was you, if you're against us, I would leave. I would leave. Take your family and go. And go back to the land where they stone women to death. I just watched a video of a beautiful girl being betrayed by her own family. I think it was in Kirkuk. No, it wasn't Kirkuk, but it was in Iraq. And it was in Nineveh. Nineveh! Once a fabled city of good and gracious things. And she was betrayed by her own family. And men killed her. They beat her, they stomped her, they stepped on her head, and they murdered her. What father does that? You're going to tell me that's the religion of murder? Does dial M stand for Muslim, or does dial M stand for murder? Anybody who was involved in that and is responsible, that should be hanged like Saddam Hussein. Everyone, including the three cops that looked the other way. If that's what we can expect from the Islamic world, you can stick it where the sun don't shine. That's not honor killings. That's brutal, devilish murder. And may everyone who was involved in it burn in hell forever. And if that's the bravery of Muslim men, they belong in the burqas. That incident that took place in Virginia, that wasn't Muslim inspired. That's why I said it was one crazy. It was just another guy that went off. But he knew what he was doing, and he did it with vigor. I do worry about the rise of anti-Semitism, and I'll tell you what brought it on this particular blog site. John DeMonkey, John Stewart, made a comment, and I think he had a couple of Muslim guests on, and he said the USA would be okay if they were subject to Islamic Sharia law, or that if the country religion was Islam. And immediately he was called every Jewish name in the book, and there was a lot of vile what ifs on that blog site. But I gotta tell you, John Stewart invited it. And John Stewart is no credit to the Jewish people. He's one of the golden calf people in my book. I call him John DeMonkey because he was on CNN one night and they asked him a question he didn't know the answer to, like, who was the first president of the United States? And he jumped up and said, "You're not going to make a monkey out of me." And he threw his bananas on the table and he walked out leaving his rubber tire. John DeMonkey is anti-American. John DeMonkey is a snide and snippy. And he's a typical example of how not to use a college education. Unbelievable. But John DeMonkey is obvious. There are others who straddle the fence. And it's really sad. It's absolutely sad. And I have vested interest. I have a vested interest in Jewish people. And I definitely don't want to see them hurt. But I despise the secular pickpockets of Jerusalem. The 30 pieces of silver boys. The guys who say they're Orthodox and they vote to kill kids. Like Joe Liverwurst. Joe Liverwurst gets a pass. Joe Liverwurst also voted to burn the flag. Well, he didn't really vote to burn the flag. It was he voted to let it burn, calling it freedom of speech. And then he lengthens his phylacteries. Nah, you can't vote to kill kids and lengthen your phylacteries. Somebody told me a saying that Jesus is attributed to have said, a good man falls seven times a day. I had never heard that one before. But how classic, huh? How prophetic. A good man falls seven times a day. You think about that. I have a nun that whispers in my ear since the day I was born. One of the things I like about the Muslim religion, to those who really believe in God and do not want to offend God, that when a baby is born, the first thing the father does is whisper a prayer in his ear. That's a great gesture. So the first words that the child hears is a prayer. I don't buy the hijacked religion thing. I don't buy it at all. That's a liberal excuse to cover up murder. Hang in there. We'll give you a tune. That girl that was murdered in Nineveh by the Azadi sect. God created that girl. God gave that girl life. Every woman is God's flower, and no one has the right to keep it from growing. And for you guys out there who think you're going to be jihadis and shahadis, and you're going to go to paradise and get 72 virgins, I got bad news for you. The 72 virgins are all Jewish and they're male. And besides that, the Jewish people have you beat. They're giving 82 with a coupon. Wake up. God put you here to protect your family, not to walk away from them and blow yourself up. And when you get to paradise, so what is God going to say? What are you doing here? You're 19 years old. I didn't plan for you to be here for another 70 years. Why are you here? Well, God, I killed people for you. You never killed people for me. Did I tell you to kill people? No, my mom did. Yeah? Where's your mom? Oh, he's growing old down there. How can you have 72 virgins? You blew your thing off. Ridiculous, man. Absolutely ridiculous. 7th century mentality. They ought to be ashamed of themselves. And it's going to be the libs that does Israel in. I called it already. I called it before Obama was even president. I said they're going to sell out Israel just like they sold out Taiwan, just like they sold out Hungary, just like they sold out the Kurds in the north. This country does not keep its promises. This country is too politically correct. And it's going to be the communists that bring down Israel. And the communists, that's the Democrat Party. Actually, it's not the Democrat Party, because the last real Democrat who was for Israel was Harry Truman. Oh, you got a lot of lip service, boys. But Abu Tam, the American fundamentalist, says the lips can say anything, but the heart doesn't lie. It's what's in your heart that counts. When they ran Barry Goldwater for president, they said, in your heart, you know he's right. But the left took him down with one atom bomb, a commercial. And now the left is in power, and they're reducing our nuclear capability so we can level the playing field for the Russians, who never had a level playing field in 2,000 years. And if you don't believe me, ask the Poles in the Katyn Forest. Ask the Ukrainians. Ask the Ukrainians where that Chernobyl road dust came from. Ask the Poles that went there to celebrate in Moscow. The whole Polish government. Unbelievable, man. Ask the guy that was having tea in London. And all of a sudden went radioactive. Ask the Pope, who took a couple of bullets from the KGB. And speaking of the KGB, I see they got 10 spies that they sent back. I don't think they should have sent the red-headed girl back. We should have said, all right, you can have the guys, but the girl stays with us. I think that girl could have been rehabbed.
Yeah.
Very pretty, right? Red hair, blue eyes. What a combo. What a combo. So her daddy was in. She said that she was speaking on a computer to somebody in the KGB. Her father was in the KGB. That's a farce. You know what that is? That's to take everybody's eye off of the betrayal of Israel. Yeah. Off of the betrayal of Arizona. What do Israel and Arizona have in common? They've both been sold out by the Obama administration. Oh, the communists are having a field day. And your only chance to stop them is in November. And I guarantee you, 24 hours before you go to the voting booth, a woofy dust will descend upon you. And you won't remember any of these things that they have done to you. Somebody proposed no property taxes, no real estate taxes for homeowners. I think that's a great idea. You want to get those 2 million houses sold? You do that. Those 2 million houses in foreclosure? No property taxes for homeowners. And if you can't do that, do it for no property taxes for homeowners who turn 65. Instead of having a Republican flag burner who they pass off as a conservative, Mr. Nice Guy, just like Joe Lieberman is a nice guy, except when it comes to kids. They're only tissue. God created tissue, didn't he? Fred Thompson, he's out there stealing old people's homes. Him and Robert Wagner. That's what should be. They're shafting the old people. They're not even giving them a cost of living increase. But the House and the Senate gave themselves a 10% raise. Chuck Schumer has 90 people on his staff and they all got a raise. 90 people. To help him pass legislation that kills kids and burns flags. You see, you don't take that flag burning serious, but let me tell you, as a result of you not taking it serious, you can go into a public school in New York City, and when they stand to say the Pledge of Allegiance, half the class is still sitting. And even worse than that, 25% of the class turned their back on the flag. And I spoke to a teacher who was pro-American, and she said, if that was my classroom, there would be a flag in every corner. No matter where you turn, that flag would be looking at you. But she's a rare and unusual breed. Today, they're breeding communists. And you're picking up the tab for your own demise. You're picking up the tab. Uncle Sam is now Uncle Sucker. How can you send money overseas? How can you lend money to AIG? What was it they gave AIG? How many billion? 650 or 850? And AIG took 150 billion and gave it to foreign banks. How can you do that? How can you let that happen? How can you pay the Palestinians any money? How can you pay the UN any money? They all hate your guts. The next candidate for office who says our allies, uses the term our allies, fire his ass right away because we have no allies. The national anthem should be the farmer in the dell, and when we get to the cheese stands alone, every American should stand up. We have no allies. Don't buy it. Now we're going to hitch rides with the Russians, now to space. What happened to Star Wars? Do you know that Reagan's Star Wars is what brought the Soviet Union down? The greatest poker bluff in history. The Russians couldn't afford to keep up with us, and already we were shooting lasers from outer space. They thought it was over. And that's why they conceded. But like Jimmy from Brooklyn says, when the Russians lose, they win, and when they win, they win. They play chess, according to Jimmy. I don't want to take it as mine. Jimmy's got to get kudos because this guy's been fighting communism on a small dime all his life. And the most he can get hurt is on a talk show when he should have his own show. He should be in charge of the House Un-American Activities Committee. You could watch half of Hollywood move to Cuba. Yeah. Jimmy from Brooklyn says the Russians play chess and we play checkers. And we can't even play Chinese checkers. We're in trouble. We're in big trouble. And the only chance you got of getting your country back is in November. And I don't care if you're a Democrat, a Republican, a communist liberal. If you want to live here, and pursue the three virtues of America, LLP, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and that includes the unborn. You better get rid of everybody that's in office. Don't let anybody stay. Their time is up. One term is plenty for a termite. One term, you do 4 years, you do 6 years, you get out. And you better start looking at all your judges and see how many of them are communist plants. And you're going to have to start purging your judges. You're going to have to clean up the judiciary. And these Supreme Court decisions of 5-4 are too close. The country is going to lose one day by one vote. You're going to lose your freedom by one vote. You better clean house. Everybody's not happy with Obama. A lot of liberals, they thought they were going to, that was payback for slavery. Obama was never a slave. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to say it, but I'm sure they have slavery in Kenya. There's more slavery in Africa today than ever before. And you know what? What's the difference if you put a chain around a man's neck or you just pay him $80 a month and put him in a compound? And you don't think that doesn't go on? Go to Kuwait. The most liberal Arab nation. And go to a factory. And see Bangladeshis and Indians working for $80 a month. And they can't leave the country on their own because their masa holds their passport. They have to get masa's permission to leave the country. How's that? How would you like somebody to hold your passport? That's one thing that always annoyed me. When I used to go overseas and I'd go into a hotel, I'd say, we have to have your passport. I say, why do you have to have my passport? Why not make a copy of it? Why should I give it up? Well, it's the law. It's not the law where I come from. You think about that. You don't know how much freedom you've already lost and yet to lose. Every day the noose gets tighter around your neck. You're too busy working three jobs to put food on the table. That's going to go up in price, especially shrimp, lobster, crabs, mahi-mahi. You wait and see. Right now, and the stock market went up. Isn't that great? Went up 300 points. You don't know whether to poop or go blind. You don't know what to do. You don't know what's causing it, how it's happening. All you hear are horror stories about how Europe is suffering and the Greeks want more welfare. And the Spaniards can't kill all the bulls because they can't afford it. So, hang in there, and we'll be talking. It's Friday, and I thought I would turn on Mike Savage and get a soul full of patriotism. But instead, Mike Savage is beating a dead horse tonight. Mike Savage is accusing America of going to war. Mike Savage is playing the communist favorite saying, the quotation of Eisenhower, beware the military-industrial complex. Let me tell you about the military-industrial complex. It is no more complex than any other business deal that's going around or any other back-scratching that's going around. It's the same sinners. It's the same game. But the most important benefit to the American people is that we are technologically ahead of our enemies. And if we weren't, tomorrow you would be pulling a rickshaw for General Cho without getting any chicken. And you don't believe that because you think never can happen, it doesn't happen. But let me remind you of two buildings that stood for 40 years and 19 Muslims brought them to rubble in a minute and a half. They silenced the screams of 3,000 Americans
And if some jerk stands up and says, well, one guy was from another country. No, he died in America, my friend. He was baptized. He got a baptism of fire. He died as an American. And never forget what Osama bin Laden says. All American taxpayers are Jews. So if you want to know how you stand with the world, look in the mirror, Moish, because you're one of us. Yeah. So every communist and his mother always brings up and beware the military-industrial complex. Now, I do not qualify Mike Savage as a communist. Far from it. He is one of the most outspoken Jewish people. He's my kind of mensch. He criticizes the Golden Calf people. Many won't. Many will never criticize one of their own. The Irish don't like to do it. Blacks definitely don't like to do it. Okay? Look at O.J. I mean, if O.J. had committed those murders on TV, they would have acquitted him. And if you don't believe me, ask Marion Barry. He used a cocaine bust to get reelected. So blacks always stand by their people. Nobody likes, Italians always like to stand by their people. Nobody likes to go against one of their own. And that's understandable. Just like when one of their own lets us down. Lets them down. When an Irishman lets me down, it breaks my heart. Twice. Because I was raised on pride in your heritage. Raised on a pride that Irish make the best Americans. And the Italians were raised the same way. So, and Southerners were raised the same way. And a lot of Latinos have paid a terrible price to be American. There are 14 guys named Rodriguez. Don't hold me to the name Rodriguez, but it's a Spanish name. It could be a Gomez, a Ramirez. I call them the Z people. But there's 14 of one name that have died in Iraq and Afghanistan. 14. Nobody else can claim that title. And you know where they all go. They go into the Marine Corps. And so they are the backbone of the nation. What we don't want are Mexican invaders flying Mexican flags, selling Mexican drugs to the criminal gringos who buy those drugs and create this havoc. It is not the Mexican who creates the drug problem. It's Junior and Sis with mommy and daddy's blessing. And that's why one out of five Americans is a junkie today. And half of Latin America is working overtime to keep you supplied. How sad. How sad to pay $40,000 a year to send your daughter to college and she comes home with a drug problem, VD, and she's working for Beads in New Orleans. Yeah. Unbelievable. Somebody told me something today. I can't repeat it. A woman went to a hairdresser and they were talking, and the hairdresser's daughter is in grammar school. And one of the girls in her class gave one of the guys a BJ. Isn't that great? See what sex ed can do? How's that? She's not out of grammar school yet, and she's giving BJs. And I'm not talking about the wholesale club. And that's where we're headed. That's MTV. We're all going to be MTV students. And there are people that are flocking here in droves, with and without passports, that are going into the education system, and they're going to climb to the top. And one day, one of those immigrants is going to push a little button under his desk, and you're going to bring him his tea. and he's going to tell you it's not sweet enough. Because you're studying to be a schmuck. One thing I always admired about Jewish people, they put their heads into the books. They knew what education, they knew how valuable education was, and they did not have to be beaten to study. Whereas guys like me, if it wasn't for the priests and nuns and the Spanish Inquisition, I would have had no education at all. And the greatest threat that hung over my head was, you keep it up and you'll be going to public school. No! Don't send me to public school! And now today, it's ridiculous. Why do we need sex education in schools? What do you think, your kids are dumb? That's the first thing they learn. They could teach you things about sex education. But we got to have multi-sexism. You got to learn about whips and chains and ball gags. Yeah, wonderful, isn't it? Yeah, and same-sex marriage. What are you going to do when a guy shows up at the city hall with a dog and he says, listen, she's a female. What, are we going to draw the line? Okay, so we'll let the dogs in. How about kangaroos? Oh, man. And to think that years ago, the only place you could see freaks were at a Herman's Flea Market in 42nd Street. You had to go there to see the tattooed lady. Now you stand on the corner and wait 5 minutes. The bearded lady and the tattooed lady are on the way. God help us, man. We're in trouble. You know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, right? And God sent two angels to Lot's house. And Lot begged God, please don't destroy San Francisco. And God says, I have to destroy it. They're all evil people. He says, Lord, suppose we find 20 people that are good. He says, I'll spare the city if we can find 20 people that are good. He says, how about 10, Lord? He says, I'll spare the city if you can find 10. How about one, Lord? I'll spare the city. So what happened? You know what happened. It's gone. Sodom and Gomorrah, gone. Hollis, finished. Gone over. Yeah, and the scientists say it was a nuclear attack. God used nukes. And another argument that really gets me going is the time and material people. No way could God have built the world in 7 days. No, no way. It had to be millions of years. If God wanted to do it in 7 seconds, he could have done it in 7 seconds. If he wanted to do it in the blink of an eye, he could have done it in the blink of an eye. Why are you limiting God to 7 days? Why are you saying 7 days is impossible? Nothing is impossible with God. Yeah. Now, if you had to build the world, that's a different story. And, of course, the liberals will say, well, produce him. You know what I say? I go to church every Sunday. And let's say I go to the 9 o'clock Mass. Sometime between 9:25 and 9:35, a miracle takes place in my church. Every Sunday. There's a miracle. Do you know what that miracle is? Christians know. And Jewish people know, too, who follow Catholicism, who are aware of how the religion works. Never forget it was founded by a good Jew. And the 12 apostles were all Jewish. I used to think Simon of Cyrene was black. I don't know why I did, but I always thought that Simon of Cyrene was black. Because they were looking for a big, strong guy to help Jesus carry the cross. So I automatically assumed that Simon of Cyrene was black. And when I seen the Passion and he wasn't black, I was very disappointed. But I didn't lose faith. I didn't even lose faith in Mel Gibson. And remember what Jesus says. A good man falls 7 times a day. And that could be Mel with 6 Jell-O shots and 1 to go. But Mel served God that when he made that movie. And he might be living in sin right now. But he's got a few points. He's got a few points. He'll get some time off in purgatory. The only one that's not getting time off in purgatory is Ted Kennedy. That's because Ted's in hell already. And he's never coming back. He's in boiler number 3. And you know who's with him? Murtha. The Lee Harvey Oswald of the Democrat Party. Bloody Murtha, who betrayed his fellow Marines, and that's why he's in hell. They won't let him into heaven, because the streets are guarded by Marines in heaven. Did you know that? Yeah. And that's why all of those jihadis are outside the gates. Let us in. And the Marines are saying, go to hell. No virgins for you guys. You were bad. So what were we saying? I started to say, I'll have to do a review and see what I said, and then I'll pick it up from there. Hang in. That's one good thing about recording. You can recollect your thoughts. What I was about to mention was the miracle that takes place between 9:25 and 9:35 at the 9 o'clock Mass. And, of course, everybody knows that's when the host, the bread and wine, become the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Now, of course, the skeptics will say it's not true, and it doesn't happen. But I got to tell you something. If you believe, it does happen. If you really believe, it does happen. And if you've ever had a moment in your life where you had to believe something and you believed it and you believed it and you believed it, you rose to a different level in your spiritual mode than you ever arose before. Have you ever had that kind of experience? I call it a spiritual orgasm. And the only way I could describe it is to ask you a question. At what time in your life were you closest to God? Think of that time, and think of why at that time you were closest to God. And would you like to be there again? Would you like to be higher than that level? You see some of these saintly people with a smile on their face. That smile is a halo. There are women saints today that are not recognized or canonized, but they have lived their whole life dedicated to God and family. And they are saints. And I'll tell you, one of them right now in my life is my mother-in-law. The woman was a saint. She carried more crucifixes than Christ. And she stayed faithful to the last days of her life. Faithful to her family, faithful to her friends, faithful to God. And there's no statue for her. But I believe if I pray to her, I got a shot. And I'm sure that in your life you will run across somebody as influential. One of the saddest things about young people and old people have so much to give. They have so much experience that they can impart. And the saddest thing is when they're gone. Then the young people say, oh, I should have asked about that. I should have asked about this. He lived at that time. I wonder what it was like. I wonder how he dealt with that situation. Talk to your elders. Learn from them.
It's cheaper in the long run. And never forget, whatever you're going through, they went through it at least once before. So let me give you a tune to cheer you up, and then we'll go to war with somebody.
Let there be light, and there was a light. Let there be earth, and there was earth. If I had my way, I would ask of him, please, let there be you. Let there be rain, and there was rain. Let there be heaven up above. If I had my way, I would ask of him, please, let there be you. You are the feeling of spring. You are the beginning of dawn. You are the meaning of everything. How could anyone go wrong? Let there be stars, and there were stars. Let there be moon, and there was moon. If I had my way, I would ask of him, please, let there be you. Please, let there be you.
That's our show for tonight, folks. Thanks for listening. And we were talking about Mike Savage accusing the military of cozying up to the industrial complex. Mike, you're not going to have to worry about it, because the EPA and OSHA is going to export the industrial complex, and they've already done it. That's why everything's in China. So don't worry too much about it. But let me tell you one of the benefits of this horrible, horrible war. And it is a war, and the reason it's taking so long to win is because we didn't declare an act of war, and you don't see Marines with flamethrowers. You want to win this war, you have to give the Marines flamethrowers. Yep, and you got to bring back the napalm. You got to wake everybody up. There's only one thing a terrorist fears. That's a terrorist bigger than him. And believe me, that's the truth. If you want to see a terrorist get humble, you put the fear of God in him. They all, let me tell you, they say they want to die, but they really don't want to die. Only the dumb ones that get talked into it. Yeah, and my God, what a joke. God put you on this earth to raise a family, to win the Breeders' Cup, and to protect all whom you love and who love you. So what do? You have a wife and kids, you beat her, and then you decide you're going to blow yourself up and go to paradise. And now they're orphans and she's a widow. You should have spent all that time spreading love. What you've done is you consign yourself to hell. You're going nowhere. You're going into the big black hole. That's where all those souls go. They go into the black hole in outer space. They're side by side, but they can't see each other. Okay, so Savage is talking about the military-industrial complex. One of the benefits of this war is that, J.
just like one of the benefits of Vietnam, as horrible as Vietnam was, and it's the Democrats that destroyed us in Vietnam. They do not know how to fight wars. They know how to get you into them, and then they leave you to die on the battlefield, and they promise they will never run again. 10 seconds after Nixon got them off the hook, they put the hooks in Nixon. They turned around. Their 8-year mistake, or a 10-year mistake, and they hanged the hook on Nixon. And that's now you hear Obama. He's 2 years into the job, and it's still Bush's fault. Yeah. Okay. One of the benefits. How sad it is. How sad but true. I think if you checked in World War II, you would find out that the guys who hit the beaches and moved inland fought the entire war in the same position on the front lines. So by the time they got to Berlin, they were the most experienced fighting man in the world. And one thing that the war in Iraq has done and the war in Afghanistan has done, it has fine-tuned the skeleton crew that keeps you from dying. And rest assured, if that skeleton crew was not fine-tuned and could be defeated, tomorrow you would be hanging from a lamppost and your wife would be working in a brothel along with your daughters after they bury your sons. You have no idea what evil lurks in the minds of men. All you got to do is watch that girl in Nineveh being beaten to death by men, and you will see the evil personified, and they're doing it in the name of culture and religion. How's that? One of the benefits is we have a fine-tuned military that knows the art of war. They are more experienced. They've got more time on the job. And that's one of the benefits of having a fine-tuned military. Yet there are people in our country who will destroy them, fatten them up, sexualize them, wimp them out, try them in courts for fighting back, give them medals for being cowards. We got to take our country back. We've only got a few months left to do it. I think I heard Hannity say tonight it's 116 days or 113 days to November 2nd. My friends, you got to get rid of everybody that's in there. None of them are any good. None of them. Not even the best of them. Not even the best of them. There isn't a man among them. There's nobody standing up and wants to take the torch. And with falling hands. You ever hear Flanders Fields? Take up the torch that we hand to you from falling hands. And if you fail us, if you fail to do your duty, we will not rest, though poppies grow in Flanders Fields. That's World War One. And what do we do for our World War One veterans? We go out to the Mojave Desert and we take down their cross in the middle of the night. The work of cowards who would never serve this country. Now, going back to Savage and the military-industrial complex, at the time that Savage was eligible for the draft, there was a popular feeling in the country. Better to be, and the slogan was, better to be a live coward than a dead hero. And there used to be a Chinese warrior's proverb, he who fights and runs away lives to fight another day. But the draft dodgers changed it to he who runs away has to leave the USA. That's why Chris Matthews went to Swaziland. He served his country. He was a tough, he was a fighter diver, a skater pilot. He served his time in Swaziland. Al Gore went to Vietnam. He had a 50 caliber typewriter and 4 bodyguards. Bill Clinton said, I'm coming, I'm on the way, boys. And he went to London and smoked weed. So, let's look at Michael Savage's DD-214. He doesn't have one. He was picking berries in Pago Pago. How convenient. Sorry. I got to call it, I got to tell it like I see it. Mike didn't want to go to NUMB. And if you knew Mike back then, I'm sure he would tell you, I'm not going there. And he'd be very convincing. But 58,000 guys, whose names are on the wall, they didn't want to go there either. And whoever did away with the draft destroyed this country. That's when the country fell, the day we did away with the draft. You go and read George Patton and read what his philosophy is about a citizen army. Yeah, they bitch a lot. The two-year boys, they're all crybabies. They you can't get a day's work out of them. Let me tell you, when the lead is flying, you don't a finer group of people you cannot be with. They will come for you. They will get you. They won't leave you on the battlefield. Democrats leave everybody on the battlefield except themselves. John Kerry, his tour of duty in Vietnam was a disgrace. He had a camera crew with him to take his picture as he torched hooches. as he shot a little boy with black pajamas running through the jungle. Shot at him. I don't know if he killed him. Then he put himself in for Silver Star. Yeah, with cockles and muscles. And then he threw all his medals over the White House wall. But he really didn't throw his medals over. He bought a handful. He didn't want to give his up. You know, Benedict Arnold wanted to be buried in his Revolutionary American War uniform. Benedict Arnold, the greatest mistake he made was he didn't play the game. He double-crossed his own. And you know what? When he got to England, they treated him like crap. And he went broke. And they say his wife talked him into being a rat. But you got to give him credit. At least Benedict Arnold did win a few battles for us. He was at Saratoga. Not like some of these other bastards that betray us and never did anything. So, having said that, I just wanted to set the record straight. Those who spill blood and live know what it's like to spill blood and live. And they are the backbone of the nation. And if you talk to a real World War II vet, he won't tell you all of the heroic deeds that he did. They don't talk about it. They'd rather have a beer and talk about flowers. Unbelievable. So, we are blessed. One half of 1% of the nation defends 99% who have no clue what to do. They are bubbleheads. American bubbleheads. My UPS driver is on his way to Afghanistan. He 2 years ago, he was on his way to Iraq. And I bet you that the reason he's in Afghanistan tonight is because he wants to make sure when he comes home and he gets back in his UPS truck, that he doesn't have to worry about roadside bombs in New York City. And you don't think that can't happen, right? These people do what they do best, and that's kill. And if they'll kill their daughters and wives, they'll kill you without batting a camel's eyelash. So hang in there, and we'll see what else we're going to talk about. I'm from the old school. I don't believe in kicking a guy when he's down. When a guy's down on his luck, that's not the time to crush him. That's the time to help him. That's where I come from. And sometimes the people I've helped have stood up and beat me up. What can I say? But that's life. But that shouldn't change your goal. If that's who you are, then you got to be true to yourself. I'm talking about General McChrystal. It was nobody came to this guy's aid. They took him off the front page faster than they hung McVeigh. Saddam Hussein had more time than McVeigh. McVeigh was whisked right into the gas chamber, and McChrystal has been whisked right off the front page. And all of his comrades, not one of them stood by him. Not one of them said, "Look, you know, this is this and this is that." No, they all said he broke his shovel. They wouldn't even give him a little pat on the back. Now, what was McChrystal only in for a week? Was he only in the service a month, 2 months, 3 months? Or was he, he was a whole career. He was, and in that whole time, in his whole career, he got to be a four-star general because he did everything wrong. Or he kissed ass all the way up the line. He went out on night missions. How many asses did he kiss when he went out on night missions as a general? You show me a general that goes out on night missions. They're few and far between. It sure as hell isn't that little monkey that the Democrats put up for president. That little worm. Yeah. The guy couldn't even, he looked lost in his combat boots. Yeah. He had press fatigues, man. Oh. What was his name? A little rat. He sold out everybody, man. I want to be president. Who do I have to sell? Yeah, McChrystal had no friends going out. But I did a YouTube video tribute to him, and it says, "Thank you, General McChrystal." And there's two others up there. They both got 4,000 hits each. I got 69. And one girl sent me a thank you. That's my only critic. She said, "Thank you." There was a second critic who was up there, and he blamed McChrystal for giving Pat Tillman a pass. He covered up the murder of Pat Tillman. Let me tell you something. I remember when Pat Tillman signed his contract, gave up his football contract, and decided to take less money in the Special Forces or Rangers, whatever he went into, Green Berets, whatever outfit he went into. And the blogs burned up on the internet, calling him a schmuck. He walked away from $11 million. They said, "Fighting for your country, you're a schmuck. You should be home here smoking weed with us. We know how to run this country. We can run it right into the ground." So Pat Tillman went and he gave his life for his country. And he got killed by friendly fire, which happens all the time. Right? Never can happen. Happens all the time. So, they claim McChrystal covered up the friendly fire incident and portrayed Pat Tillman as a hero. Pat Tillman was a hero. And I think that was a beau geste, a beautiful gesture on the part of McChrystal to give his parents, Pat Tillman's parents, peace of mind. Of course, some rat came out and exposed it. You know, just like the rat that wrote all the comments, that McChrystal, who never said anything, okay, but his staff did, okay, and McChrystal took the heat for it. And he only fired one guy, McChrystal. He fired the guy that introduced him to the dirtbag. And that dirtbag betrayed a trust. And the seventh ring of hell, according to Dante, is for those who betray a trust. So I did a tribute to McChrystal, and in that tribute, you'll see a lot of fallen GIs, and you'll see a lot of brave moments. And I just said, "Thank you, General McChrystal." And of course, the press came out and said he was a liberal. That was the turn to dry up any conservative sympathy. But any liberal that goes out on a night mission as a general, I would love to serve with that liberal, because I know that my chances of coming back are pretty good. So I paid a tribute to McChrystal, and I got 69 hits. But if I had done a tribute to LeBron James, Oh, man. I'd still be hit on. I just thought I'd give you that little insight. Anything else we want to cover tonight? Is the country going broke? I don't know. I have no idea. I think we're all in a game, and only God knows what the outcome. Hang in there. And the big news in New York tonight is that 11 business owners, small business owners, were fined $200 each for having the doors of their stores open while they ran the air conditioners. And you don't think that Big Brother is watching? We're all under surveillance. We're all under house arrest. So Mayor Bloomingdale, he went after 11 small business guys, who some of them won't make $200 today. And he took his cut. Well, you know what the difference between Mayor Bloomingdale and the guy in the white suit and the Godfather that opened the merchant's register and said, "I only want to wet my beak a little bit"? No difference. Only a Bloomingdale does it for bigger bucks. And he was quick to sell out New York and give the okay for the 911 Victory Mosque, even though he's trying to distance himself from it. The hook stays. The hook in his ass stays. He is responsible for that 911 Victory Mosque. He appointed the head of Community Board 1. She owes her fealty to him. If he picked up the phone and said, "Put an end to this, I don't want to hear it anymore," that Victory Mosque would be gone. And 29 board members voted unanimously. Can you imagine what they should have their pictures on a billboard on the entrance to New York City saying, "These are 9-10 New Yorkers. These rats betrayed 7 million Americans in New York City." And it's not a question of freedom of religion. Religion has nothing to do with it. Jihad is a holy war. And just because it's got the word holy in it doesn't mean it's not a war. And jihad comes in all forms. There's media jihad. There's propaganda jihad. There's democratic voting a jihad. And speaking of jihad, let's talk about George Bush for a moment. I'm tired of people saying that we didn't have to go to Iraq. Anybody who says we didn't have to go to Iraq is a liar. And I'm going to tell you why we had to go to Iraq. You go back to the evening of 9-1-1. Not a plane in the sky, the bones and ashes of 3,000 Americans were vaporized in a white powder smoke that covered the entire city. Nobody could guarantee our safety. Nobody. Except God. Nobody knew what Saddam had. Nobody. Including the UN inspectors he paid off. Nobody knew what Saddam had. Nobody could guarantee our safety. The only thing that was for certain were there were a lot of people hiding under beds hoping that Osama bin Laden was not going to drop another shoe. And when the coast was clear, they all came out and sang, "Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Wolf?" Nobody, not one American, not one CIA officer, not one military intelligence officer, not one UN official, nobody could tell us and guarantee our safety. So Bush did the only thing he could do, and he didn't go for oil, because you can see right now we're not getting it. He didn't go for oil. He went to verify that Saddam had nukes or didn't have nukes. And he rolled the dice in favor of "let's see." And that was the only call to make. And we sent in our own inspectors, and they kicked in every door. And we gave Saddam plenty of time to get rid of them. And never forget, Saddam gave his entire air force to an enemy of whom he killed 1 million people. Saddam killed 1 million Iranians. He even bombed Tehran. And before he opened the doors on all his arms rooms, and he gave guns to the people, and he flew his planes to Iran. And God knows what he gave Syria. And God knows how much Russian help he had. We don't know. We just caught 10 spies in New York. And the biggest mistake was they gave up the prettiest one. She should have been here for rehab. Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. You notice we're not getting any pretty ones back from the Russians. Jerks. We're a bunch of jerks. We give 10 for 4. You know how long we'd last in business doing that? Giving 10 for 4? Nobody could guarantee our safety, and that's why we went to Iraq. And the greatest enemy we have to face yet is Iran. And you know what? We're in a position. We're right down the street. And if you get out your little map of Iran, you'll see that we've got Iran surrounded. We've got air bases in almost every country that surrounds Iran, plus underwater in the Persian Gulf. You think about that. And ask yourself this, why are the Saudis giving Israelis flyover permission to go to Iran? Huh? Why is that? The Saudis hate the Israelis. They hate them with a passion. Did you see the sign the guy held up, kill all the Jews? J-U-I-C-E, can't even spell Jews. He's going after my cranberry and V8. The Saudis hate the Israelis. Saddam paid $25,000 for every dead Israeli. If you could bring him proof that you killed an Israeli, you got $25,000. You don't think he wasn't paying for Americans too? And you know where you know how you got your money? The money came from a bank in France, Bank Paribas. And I'll bet you Saddam is still paying for dead Jews. Yeah, it's in his trust fund. His foundation. So you can say what you want about Bush. You got Uday Kusay and he hangs Saddam. Not bad for a cowboy that rides a bicycle. And he sent a message. We can come for you. But he just didn't emphasize it enough. And while he was there, he should have been going after Iran psychologically. He should have been going after the Iranian people. If I was there, there'd be rock and roll on coming across that border every day. They would see nothing but good times in Iraq. Every time they turned on the TV, two more Iraqis would be jitterbugging. They'd be watching a Baghdad rodeo. And a Wild West Indian show. We blew it. We blow everything. And you want to know why? We got too many bureaucrats. If you had any idea how these people justify their jobs, you would fire everybody on the spot. This guy's got to go to work this morning. He's got to pass something. He's got to pass something to justify his existence. Why does Chuck Schumer, when you type Schumer in spell check, it comes up schema. Why is it that Chuck Schumer needs a staff of 90 people? How much is that costing the American taxpayer? And here you got Texas. They meet, 2 months out of the year, or every 2 years, they meet, they pass some legislation, and they all go back to work. And here you got all these prima donnas. Did you ever see a list of what they do for a day? Recognizing mothers. We're going to pass legislation. We recognize mothers. We recognize people with six toes. We're going to recognize people who are not recognizable. You got to get a list of what the House and the Senate do for a day. You'll be sick. You'll be sick. The best investment you could make would be in vomit bags. These people have too much power, too much time, too much money, and all the money belongs to you. They're talking about a redistribution of wealth. How about you just let people make a buck? Never mind you taking it and redistributing it. How about we make it and we keep it? And I didn't know this, but they mentioned today that Medicaid and Medicare, and I don't know if it's together or separately, that budget is bigger than the defense budget. And where is the Star Wars program? I want Star Wars. I want a shield for the entire United States. And I want to share that shield with Poland and Czechoslovakia. And I want to share it with the Ukraine. And I want to share it with anybody who fears the Soviet Union. And it's not Russia, it's the Soviet Union. The leopard doesn't change its spots. And they're real quiet lately, have you noticed? Too quiet, like they say in the Indian movies. I'm going to close this segment, and if I don't get a chance to say sayonara, adios. Want a tune on the way out? I'll give you a tune.
Do you love me? Do you want me? What can the verdict be? What is your verdict? What is my fate? What is your verdict? Don't make me wait. I've been on trial here for a long, long time. What is your verdict? Please, please make up your mind. I can't deny that I love you so. The evidence proves it, I know. Of life with your charms, imprison me, dear, in your arms. I know I love you, that I confess. What is your verdict? No, is it yes? Is it no?